For the past few weeks now, we've been talking about discipleship and the lifestyle of a disciple. We've really come a long way in being able to define disciple, being able to understand the talking. When I mean talking, I mean a disciple needs to know, for you to be able to get to that place that you can say, I want to be discipled, or I want to be a disciple and live like a disciple, you need to have asked some questions. We have also been able to see the fact that a disciple's life needs to be fruitful, about talking about the sowing and the harvest. And last week we looked at how to be fruitful as a disciple. I would prefer to say fruitful. Now, this in time means you bearing fruit to the fullest nature as you ought to. So fruit, how to be fruitful as a disciple. And we are taking our text from the book of John chapter 15. I'll read from verse 8. And if you could go with me. John 15 verse 8. When you bear a lot of fruit, it brings glory to my Father. It shows that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. In the same way, I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy will be in you. I want your own joy to be complete. Here is my command. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants anymore. Servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I call you friends. I have told you everything I learned from my Father. You did not choose me. Instead, I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. It is fruit that will last. It is fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask in my name. I'll just take the last verse again. You did not choose me. You did not choose me. You did not choose me. Instead, I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. It is fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. Praise the Lord. So last week we equated fruitfulness or being fruitful to being productive. If you could remember, we also said it's a style of stewardship. Discipleship is about stewardship. Discipleship is about giving what you have. You know, working in a vineyard. We also said something last week that God is responsible for what he gives you. You see, people keep saying, oh, I don't have enough. I don't have what that other person has. No, God is responsible for what he gives you. You are responsible for how you use it. It's not how much you have. It's how well you use what you have. So last week, we talked about God is responsible for what he gives you. And you as a man or a woman of God or a disciple is responsible for how well or how badly you use it. Just like in the story of the talent where God gave, or the master gave each of them according to their ability. He gave them five. He gave one, two. He gave one. Now, the fact of the matter is the five worked, the two worked, the one kept. The one could have worked on that one. You see, one thing I would say here is that if you are giving not too much, I think your responsibility is to do that simple thing. Because when you are, he said, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. The more you are giving, the more wahala, the more issues. So the little you are giving, you don't even want to use it. You are saying you want more. I think it's just man greed. So what we are saying is, God is responsible for how much he has given you. But you are responsible for how well you use it. So stop complaining of you don't have enough. Use what you have. And this includes in our ministry, it includes our business, it includes our individual life. So we kept on and we looked at the fact that fruitfulness in the Greek word, we looked at that and we said, we also looked at the fact that being fruitful brings glory to God, our Father. bring fruitful brings glory. Just like a child, the success of a child brings glory to the parents. So also, we being a child of God and our Father, our fruitfulness brings glory to God. We could see that in verse 8 of John chapter 15. It says, your fruit brings glory to God. Brings glory to the Father. Because we are now fathers. Sorry, we are now children of God. We are now, he's our Father. So our fruitfulness, our bearing of fruit brings glory to him. It's in the Bible. Also, being able to bear fruit makes us a disciple. You cannot call yourself a disciple if you don't bear fruit. We also took ourselves into the book of Genesis last week at chapter 1 verse 28, where he was talking about going to the world and do what? And be fruitful and multiply. You see, people keep thinking that the fruitfulness that God was talking about there is all about giving back. And I keep saying that people that don't want to give back are not committing anything. It's about you being fruitful in your life. You being able to replicate. And we prayed about it last week also during the message. Why not just pray that God help me to replicate you in other people's life? That is the fruitfulness you're talking about. Being able to multiply God in other people's life. Let me just say something here. One thing that we've forgotten, that we don't see it in that light, is that we can give birth without actually being pregnant. How do I mean? Somebody preached the word of God to us and we became Christians and we started growing in Christ. That is giving birth. The Bible says that be born again. So when you are born again, it means that you have gone through a process of gestation and you have been born out again. So when you preach to the word of God to someone and a person comes to Christ, you have just given birth. Praise God. You have just been fruitful. So we need to understand that fruitfulness in God, in our Father, is very important. God wants to know me to bear much more fruit. So last week we talked about bringing glory to God by our fruit, becoming disciples by our fruit, and the fact that God wants us to bear lasting fruit. It's not fruit that die, but lasting fruit. But lasting fruit. It's lasting fruit. We become what God wants us to be when we use and manage resourcefully the provision of God in our lives. Bearing fruit is the purpose of salvation. Our salvation is not just to get us into heaven. We talked about last night, why don't people just give their lives to Christ now and just pass away? Is it not easy to just give your life now and pass away and go to heaven? But we are saying that the purpose of salvation is for us to bear fruit. We are saved to serve. The investment of Jesus Christ is for us to walk and produce fruit. His investment in our life is for us to go and invest in other people and bring them to him. Now, let's just take it a step further, that a disciple's lifestyle is a fruit-bearing life. And it's all about bearing fruit that lasts. Our fruit should last over a long time. Our fruit should not just show and then die. No. That's why we are saying that it's about consistency. A disciple's life is about consistency. A disciple's life is not how quick you do it. You see, it's not about how quick you do something. It's about how well and consistent that thing is. That's why we looked at the book of Psalm chapter 1, and he said that it is like a tree that bears fruit in and out of season. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who obeys the law of the Lord, who does not follow the advice of the evil one. He doesn't make his habit in doing what sinners do. He doesn't join them to make fun of the Lord and his law. Instead, he takes delight. He takes delight in the law of the Lord. He thinks about the law day and night. Now, hear this. He is like a tree that is planted near a stream. It bears its fruit at the right time, and its leaves does not dry up. It's about consistency. It says it bears its fruits at the right time. So, Christian's life, a disciple's life, is about consistency. It's about bearing fruit at the right time. So, when we live here today, we should be thinking about bearing consistent fruit. It's not about just blossoming. And then, after 5 years, many Christians have given their lives and are backsliding. And they are no longer in the race of life. Demas, like Paul said,
old. He said, not like Demas that has gone with the love of the world. It's not just, oh, I want to just quickly accomplish things. No, it's about accomplishing it well and in purpose of God.
Now, let's just go a bit further. Now, real fruitfulness is not how big or how shiny or how blossoming the fruit is. It's about how long and lasting the fruit will be. Praise God.
You can see a beautiful tree with loads of fruit and see one that is big and bring it down and it's not even sweet. It's possible. So it's not how shiny the fruit is. It's not how blossoming the fruit is. It's not how big it is. But it is about how lasting the fruit will be. It is about how lasting the fruit will be. Okay, let's do something. What are the types of fruits that the Bible mentioned? Maybe this will take us deeper. Types of fruit that the Bible mentioned. The Bible mentioned what the Bible calls the fruit of repentance that John talked about. John said that you might repent. That was the message of John. So we can bear the fruit of repentance. You know, it's about turning to God, coming away from sin and going to God. God, our Father, doesn't want us to be perfect, but he wants us to what? To live unto a perfect life. By living excellent. Many people will say, oh, I can't be perfect. Yeah, we know you can't be perfect. But he wants you to give it a try. You see, it's not about you being perfect to God. How many children are perfect before their parents? No child is perfect before his parent. You will always see something wrong about what they do. But God is not asking us to be perfect. But he's asking us to try. He's asking us for a desire. He's asking us for a passion. He's asking us for a heart that pursues after him. A heart that pursues in obedience and trust. God, our Father, our Daddy, wants us to trust him like a child to a father. I heard a story. The story is about, I think 2 weeks ago, we went to the circus, right? And at the circus, I can't remember if this, but there are some very, very dangerous acts that they do in the circus. At times, the people in the circus, one and two, expect this one to do something and the other one to do something for them to be able to successfully go through that act. If I am thinking for that other person, I will fail in my own. So what are we saying? We need to trust that the person that is on the other side is doing what he wants to do. So God wants us to trust him like that. That I believe him to do whatever he has to do. So God is expecting us to bear the fruit of repentance, to turn to him. Turn to God. Now, the other kind of fruit is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. Can we open to Galatians? There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Did you notice that the Bible did not say fruits of the Spirit? Praise God. Have you noticed that the Bible did not say fruits of the Spirit? I kept asking myself when I was looking into this place, why did the Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 5? Let's look at verse 20. Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces. Now, be keen here about it. Look at it. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's continue. Is love. 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many are there? There are 9. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. I just want us to look at this a bit in this way. Why didn't the Bible refer to them as fruits of the Spirit? Let's go back to when we talked about the sowing and the harvest of a disciple's life. It is a fruit because one tree can only bear one type of fruit. Praise God. Now, when you are rooted in the Holy Spirit, you are bearing only one type of fruit. The manifestation can be in different ways. The manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifests in 9 different ways. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is also called the fruit of our character. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is also known as the fruit of character. Because we are meant to be characterized after the fruit of the Spirit. So in our character, in our day-to-day living, we should show love. We should show joy. Joy cannot die. Joy is inside, irrespective of circumstance. We should be peacemakers. We should have peaceful life in ourselves. We should be patient. We should be kind. We should be good. We should be faithful. We should be gentle. And we should have self-control. So these are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of character. Now, the other kind of fruit that we should bear. So the other kind of fruit we should bear is the fruit of reproduction. We talked about it briefly when we started. That this is a fruit where you are bringing other people into the kingdom. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, it talked about being fruitful. It talked about being fruitful. So it's talking about us being able to reproduce after our Christian nature in the kingdom of God. So the fruit number one is fruit of repentance. Fruit number two is fruit of the Spirit. Fruit number three is the fruit of reproduction. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Go into the world and be what? Fruitful and what? Multiply. Now this is the fruit of multiplication. Give birth to people like you in the Christian world. Somebody brought us to Christ. We need to bring people to Christ. So this fruit of reproduction is bringing others to Christ, making the effort, making it intentional. Making it intentional, just like the Grow 7 network that we are talking about, that we want to grow in the multiples of 7 by establishing people in the kingdom of God. It's the same thing, the fruit of what? The fruit of reproduction. We cannot just be living like monks. Monks just stay on their own in one castle. We have to reproduce after our kind. An elephant gives birth to what? An elephant. A dog gives birth to a what? A dog. A cat gives birth to a cat. A chicken lays an egg to give birth to something after its kind. A man gives birth to a baby that looks like him. God created us in his own image. Now, a Christian should give birth to what? What should a Christian give birth to? A Christian like himself. Praise God. So, a Christian should give birth to another Christian like himself. A Christian should not give birth to a dead, sinful person. But a Christian should bring a sinful person out of sin into life. So, fruit of reproduction. And another fruit here is the fruit in ministry. Now, this fruit in ministry is about what is my purpose? It's being squashed like the olive to be able to bring out the oil. What exactly did God call you to? Being intentional about your fruit bearing in ministry. As a mother, as a father. The ministry of motherhood, the ministry of fatherhood produce fruit in it. I'm not talking about fruit of children. I'm talking about as a father, you are there for the children. As a mother, you are nurturing that child. As a ministry, as a worship leader, you are producing the worship that God wants you to produce, and you are bringing people to Christ. Praise God. As a church, you are fulfilling the ministry of the church. So we're talking about discovering your purpose. Bearing fruit as a minister of God. Now, God has called all of us as a minister. There is no man or woman of God that is not a man or that is not a Christian. Everybody is a minister of God. Now, pastor and other things might be a different calling, but we are all called to ministry. Every member of this church is called to a ministry. And we are talking about bearing fruit in our ministry. So we have talked about the fruit of repentance. Types of fruit that we have talked about that we can find in the Bible. Fruit of repentance. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of reproduction. And fruit in ministry. I would just like to go through quickly some conditions of fruitfulness. And I will just list some conditions of fruitfulness. Conditions. How would we be able to bear fruit as a disciple? What are the conditions? What are the conditions? You see, a tree will thrive. For example, we just recently, bought that palm frond. And the palm frond has not been doing very well. Because the condition of the environment is not conducive. Now, for you to bear fruit, the condition where you are placed must be conducive for you to bear fruit. But what are the conditions? One thing we should know is that being busy is not being productive. No matter how busy you are, that might not be what is going to bring out product. So activity is not productivity. I am busy. I am doing. It's not productivity. Productivity is what we are talking about. Fruit bearing, long-lasting fruit, consistent fruit. You can be busy doing nothing. You can be busy doing the wrong thing. You can be busy doing the things that are not what God wants you to do. So being busy is not productivity. Activity is not fruitfulness or productivity. So that is why we need to understand the conditions. Now, condition number one. Condition number one, we'll go into this next week, again, deeper. But I would just like to list for today the conditions of fruitfulness. Condition number one is cultivate deep root. What did I say? Cultivate deep root. One of the conditions of productivity, one of the conditions of productivity or fruitfulness is cultivating deep root. I will take us quickly to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. And I will read from here. But I will bless any man who trusts in me. I will show my favor to the one who depends on me. It will be like a tree that is planted near water. It sends out its root beside a stream. It is not afraid when it comes. Its leaves are always green. It does not worry when there is no rain. It will always bear fruit. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Condition number one, cultivate deep root. The deeper your root, the longer your sustenance, and the better the fruit you bear. The deeper your... Now, how do you know a building is going to go very tall? How do you know how tall a building will be? It's by the depth of its foundation. Praise God. We were talking to the builders of our house before we moved, and they were telling us that the buildings that they are building on site are all on piles. That is not on just normal foundation. And what are pile foundations? Pile foundations are the foundations that you will look for the strongest base. So the soil might be loose. So they will keep hammering down into the ground some piles until it gets to a firm ground. So that the house is staying on the firm ground. Now, it means that the depth of the foundation of a house determines how high the house will go. If you just build a house on the normal soil, it means that the house cannot go tall. It will just be a normal one bungalow building. But how deep the building, how tall the building will go, is determined by how deep the foundation is. So how fruitful you will be, how full of fruit you will be, how fruitful you will be, is dependent on how deep your roots are. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. How deep your roots are determines how long, how well you bear fruit. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Now, condition number two is eliminate weeds. Do you know that weeds don't need attention to grow? Do you know that? Weeds. For weeds to grow, you don't need to plant it. Now, the crop you want to plant, you need to be intentional about it. Yes or no? What you want to plant, you need to be intentional about it. But the weeds don't even care. The weeds just grow. I would like to take us to the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 to 14. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 to 14. Let's examine what it says there. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 to 14. It says, and I'll read, there was a story of a man. The seed is God's message. People on the path are those who hear. But when the devil comes, he takes away the message from their hearts. He does it so they won't believe. Then they can't be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who hear the message and receive it with joy. But they have no roots. Praise God. Now listen to this. They have no roots. They believe for a while. And when they are put to test, they fall away and they are away from their faith.
The ones that fall among the thorns are the ones that... Now, the thorns are like the weed. Now, the thorns are like the weed. Now, the pleasures of the world. The pleasures of the world. So many things can be weeds. But we will define this better next week. And there are different conditions of soil. But one thing is this. In the soil that is our heart. Now, remember this. The soil is our heart. The seed is the word of God. The soil is our heart. The seed is the word of God. My question to you is, what is taking over your heart? Is it weed or the word of God? Eliminate the weed. Get out the weed. The weed doesn't need stress to grow. The word of God needs intention to grow. Eliminate the weed. Next week, we'll dig deeper into this. But for today, we just want to take this in that way. So, condition number two is what? Eliminate the weed. Eliminate the weed. Now, condition number three is, let God prune you. Psalm 66 verse 12 was talking about God helping us to be able to be better. So, if we cooperate with God in the way He's pruning us, we become silver and gold in His hand. Cooperate with the God's pruning for your life. Cooperate with the Father's pruning for your life. The olive cannot bring out its oil if it is not being squeezed. The best of our life comes out when we undergo that pruning. The best of our life comes out when we undergo pressure. I remember the time I was praying to God, God, just take me away from this comfort and help me to... You see, we need to be able to go overboard. We need to be able to just believe God will do His part. Let's do our part. God said, I remember when He told me that He has not called us to the place of easiness. Or, I'll just be at home, I want to sleep. He has called us to a place where we have to walk now. He has called us to a place where there's pressure and He wants us to break through. Because He said, on the other side of that pressure, He will give us all we want, abundance. So we need to understand that the best is inside, but it can only come out when we have undergone a bit of pressure, a bit of pruning, a bit of work on from God. And the fourth condition of a fruitful life is we need to be expectant. An expectant heart is the heart that receives. An expectant heart is the heart that receives. I'll say it again. An expectant heart is the heart that receives. What I'm about to tell you is true. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I'll read it again. He said, what I'm about to tell you is true. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many more seeds. Do you want to have impact? You have to die to self. Do you want to be influencing the nations of the earth? You have to die to yourself. Because when you die to yourself and you sprout forth, you become fruitful. Let me just tell us this today. That it might look as if it's been delayed. It might look as if, it's not enough people that are joining us. But do you know that it's a season to die? Because the moment we sprout forth, there will be loads of more seed. Do you believe that? Can you rise up together? Let us pray as we come to pray to God. Can we just rise up to pray? What is God telling you today? What is God telling you about discipleship? What is God telling you about consistent bearing of fruit? Do you want to go to God and just say, Lord, here am I before you. In my season of dying, let me not rush away. In this season where I am meant to die to self, I don't want to rush out of your presence. Can we just speak to God? And just talk to God in this simple way with our heart, focused on Him, praying to Him that, Daddy, you have said that this is true, that except a seed dies, it just remains only a seed. But when it dies,
it becomes much more seed. It produces more. You have spoken to us today about the fruit of repentance. You have spoken to us today about the fruit of reproduction. You have spoken to us today about the fruit of ministry. You have spoken to us today about the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I can't bear fruit if I don't die to self. I can't bear fruit if I don't trust that you will do your part. Lord, I come before you to let go of myself, to die to myself as a seed that I can sprout forth. I am expectant. I am expectant. Lord, in every part of my life that I need you to prune my life, that I need you to squeeze me out of pleasure, out of comfort, and out of ease. Lord, squeeze me out of these places that I can step forth into actually bearing fruit that last. Lord, do I need to be weeded in some part of my life? The Bible says, search me. The psalmist says, search me. Lord, I have weeds in this part. I have grief. I have some doubt. Things that are squeezing out the word to grow in my life. Lord, I come to you, my daddy. Take out this weed. Take out this weed that is stopping me from performing at the best place you want me to perform. Lord, that is helping me, that is not helping me. Those weeds that are taking nutrients away from me, sucking life out of my life. Lord, weed, I eliminate weed from my life. Lord, I want to have depth. I want to have depth. He said, deep connect to deep. The Bible says, deep connect unto deep. Lord, take me deeper. Take me deeper. The depth of a foundation determines how high the building goes. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, the depth of the root determines the level of reproduction. Father, I come to you. Give me deep roots. Give me deep roots to be sustained in the time of trials, in the time of drought, in the time of growth, in the time of dying, in the time of pressure. God, I pray, give me deep roots. Deep roots. To be able to tap from the depth that calleth unto depth. To be able to tap into the depth of God's nature and being. Give me deep roots. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.